Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this night of worship and praise. We thank you for the saints that came out tonight. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, We Live in Perilous Times. How many can agree that we live in perilous times? Amen. Never before in the history of the United States that almost every month now there is a massive shooting in our schools. That lets us know what time it is. That lets us know that evil is growing stronger and stronger. The dark is almost like it's consuming the light. And in our country, we've never experienced anything like that ever before in the history of the United States. Growing up as a child, we used to ride our bikes until 9 o'clock at night. We had our fathers would have to grab us by the ears to bring us in. Can you remember that? Okay, only just I remember that. But I mean, it was safe, wasn't it? And it was safe to go to school. It was safe to bring a lunch pail. It was safe. But now it's not safe. We're seeing some wickedness right now. And we're also seeing what's taking place, even in the church. I'm going to touch on it. And one day God's going to give me a message about it. But how many have heard the Leviathan spirit? Okay. You've heard the Leviathan spirit. Amen. Okay. This spirit is alive right now, working throughout the churches. And Dr. Lance Wallnau, he was on the Jim Baker Show, he did a phenomenal teaching on the Leviathan spirit. What is this Leviathan spirit that's mentioned in the book of Job and also throughout the Bible? This spirit goes in to the church and it causes leaders and pastors and those who minister together to be ripped apart from one another. And it causes people to be pitted against one another. And they don't know that they're operating under that spirit. And then once the spirit has done its job and the separation has taken place, it flees and it goes elsewhere. And broken hearts are left behind. Torn relationships are left behind. So we're living in perilous times. And we know this. And so let's read verses 1 through 5. And then let's ask the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to take us tonight. Amen? Verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. How many of you know people like that? All right. Verse 3, then you find them unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Amen. So there's a time where God says, turn away. There are times when you have to separate yourself. Why? Because there are, unfortunately, people that are infectious with spirits upon them. And you cannot see and you cannot battle with it in the flesh. No matter what you say in the natural, those strongholds have to be pulled down by prayer and fasting. Because when you engage in arguments with these kind of folks that we just read right now, you're going to lose every time. Because they will be self-deceived because of that spirit that's operating. And we're going to touch on that. So let's go back to verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. So saints, this reference to the last days reveals Paul's sense of urgency. And I truly believe 2,000 years later, it's very urgent now. Can I get amen? But warnings about the last days were certainly not unique to Paul. It was a common theme among the leaders of the early church. And we can see this in Acts 2:17 and James and Peter and Jude. Very difficult times means hard to bear, dangerous and troublesome. So we see these references, last days, we see it in Acts right up here. Look at this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years later, God is still pouring out his spirit. Can I get amen? You are here because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because he called you to an everlasting love with him. So now we're having this love affair with the Lord Jesus. And grace and mercy has been given to us. Now we see also in James 5:3, your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat up your flesh like fire, for you have heaped up treasure in the last days. Now, what is this referring to? Every time you see the last days in the Word of God, that's telling us that the day is coming where it's called the day of the Lord. Now, throughout the Bible, the day of the Lord has a capital L on it. It's emphasizing that the Lord Jesus is about to return now. Now, many of these saints, precious saints for over the 2,000 years, one of the themes that they had is they truly believed that the Lord was coming. But now we see it clearly now that it was speaking of the times and days that we are living in. Because the evil and the gross darkness that we are seeing today is more prevalent than it ever was in the times of the apostles. Listen, they didn't have internet. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have all these things that we have now. And so mankind, yes, has developed in the technology era. But let me just say this. There is good and evil on both sides. Can I get amen? Amen. It's great to communicate with one another. We were in Israel. And we were posting up right away what we were experiencing. In the United States, our friends, our family, they were getting it within hours, within minutes. But on the flip side to that, the devil is at work. And that's why we are in perilous times. The perilous times that we're living right now far exceeds to the time and the era of the apostles and even the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what we find now. It's found in 2 Peter. Look at this. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. There are people throughout Christianity, throughout the United States, around the world, and some of them say, you know, a lot of them are good-hearted people, but their mindset is, well, they've been saying that for years, that Jesus is coming. And so they're not preparing themselves to meet the Lord. They're looking at every day as just another day. But little do they know that we are the generation that's going to see the Lord. I truly believe that. I'm seeing radical darkness, and I'm also seeing great light, the light that's coming forth through you and me, the light of the gospel, the power of God. How many of you believe that God has called you for such a time as this? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So, saints, Paul's warning deserves our full attention. It really does. The last days began after Jesus' resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers at Pentecost. If you were here a couple of Sundays ago, we taught on Pentecost. The last days will continue until Christ's second coming. I truly believe on everything that we're seeing now, mentioned throughout the book of Acts, that's mentioned through Matthew 24, what's mentioned in Revelation, that we are the generation that are seeing these things. And one of the key factors in knowing that Jesus is coming is that Jerusalem is all built up. You got to remember, in 1948, we've been to Israel, and we've seen the beautiful buildings, and we've seen the fields of agriculture. We've seen the people, and we've seen almost every city we've gone to, that it's all built up. But in 1948, it was a desolate desert. Even Tom Sawyer said, who would ever want this place? And yet, God has fulfilled his promise to the Jewish people. Can I get an amen? And we were privileged to see what God has done. And so God has raised them up for such a time as this. Why? Because when he comes back, he's going to gather all that he's going to gather, and they're all going to see the way, same way that he was crucified in Jerusalem. He's going to come back at that same place. And we're going to see that. Zechariah 14 says that he is going to step his feet, descend from heaven, and his feet is going to touch the Mount of Olives. How many of you can recall the Mount of Olives? We were just there, what, 3-4 weeks ago? Hallelujah. Just amazing. We were there. We know the landscape. Well, yeah. All you have to do is just figure out he may land there or there or there, but somewhere on this Mount of Olives, he's going to land. And he's going to bust down the eastern gate. It's all walled up. It's all, yes, amen. It's all walled up right now, huh? And all the Muslims put all their graves in front, thinking they're going to keep the King of Glory from breaking down the walls. Man, those graves are going to be obliterated. With one word, he's going to speak, and they're gone. And so Paul could speak about the last days as a future event, emphasizing conditions present at the close of the last days, or as a present reality. How many believe reality is right now? We're seeing the things. We're seeing the abominations. We're seeing ruthlessness. We're seeing 2 Timothy chapter 3 right before our eyes. And so, saints, Paul was emphasizing that the state of depravity in the world is always, it's always ripe for harvest. So as the darkness continues to do what it's doing, guess what? God is working on the other side of the fence. Can I get amen? Amen. This is where you got to believe that your family and your friends, your co-workers, and all those that you spoke into their life, that God is going to bring them to the cross. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
He's not going to leave them behind. You got to believe God. Hallelujah. You got to believe God, that God's going to do something so miraculous in these last days that even us, for some of us that are seasoned, we're going to get blown away. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to watch God do something so supernatural. And guess what? He wants to use you. He wants to use me. How many want to be used by the King? All right, be ready. Be ready. If God has placed this little church on the corner for one purpose, is to prepare to meet the King. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. To meet the King. And that's our emphasis here, is prepare. Prepare our hearts to meet the King. I want to see Jesus face to face. I want to see the God who created me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I want to see the God who delivered me from a life of wickedness, to now walk in his grace and walk in his mercy and fall on his feet when I see him. How many want to just fall on his feet and say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. It's all about giving him praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so this means that we are definitely living in the last days. And it should not surprise us than to see the moral degeneration of society around us. It shouldn't catch us by surprise, because Jesus said it would be like that in the last days. So as we seize these signs, that means, God, you're on your way. Hallelujah. You're going to deliver us from this body of flesh. How many can't wait to get delivered from this body of flesh? I can't wait. I want that new body. Come on, I know you want that new body, right? This one's failing. Hallelujah. It's been on the road for almost 60 years. I want the new one.
Bring it, Lord. Hallelujah.
It'll probably be 60 pounds lighter, and it may have some hair on it. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be good. It's going to be better than this body, and that body is going to live forever. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Disease free. Diabetes free. Cancer free. Hallelujah. And he's going to defeat death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, God. That's what I want. Can I get amen? My question is, do you want that too? Amen. So let's move on to verse 2 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. How many of you know there's children, teenagers, young adults that are disobedient to parents? Okay, it's just people I know, right?
Oh, no, right here.
God, Jesus said, God said, the apostle said, that in the last days that you would see this spirit operating.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
And if it hasn't reached your household yet, keep on living. Keep on living. Saints, when people misdirect their love toward themselves and money, there can be no love left to direct toward others. If it's about me, myself, and I don't have room for you. And I'm not going to think about you, and I'm not going to pray about for you. It's all about me. We live in this generation, it's all about me generation. Look at that. And so Paul warned us that it would happen, as did Jesus said, Revelation said, the prophets foretold all this that would take place. And so moral corruption naturally results, as noted in the following characteristics. Number one, here's the characteristics of what we're seeing in society today. To be boastful and proud pictures a heart full of pride that manifests itself outward with boastfulness. These haters right now in our nation, they hate you because you are against abortion. They hate you because you are for marital status between a man and a woman. They hate you for that. Listen, right now, if we born-again believers who love God, if we don't go out to the polls these next few months to vote, we're going to lose our rights to preach the gospel over the pulpit. Because the agenda, the initiative that wants to come forward is to remove the word of God. Why? Because the word of God to them is hate speech.
Yes, that's right.
You know, there's a lot of churches that won't go here. I'm going there. You know why? Because how many of you love your liberty in Christ? How many of you love to be free in Christ? Or do you want to be bound up? I can't say this. That's right. Bring it on. We need to be people of faith. We need to walk in truth and holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so they're boastful. Pictures a full heart of pride. And so saying such characteristics reveal a person's inflated self-importance and necessarily leads them to looking down on others. That's how they look at us. They look down on us. Oh, you needed God. I'm glad you needed God. And they're living in wickedness. And they're telling you, you need God. Man, if only they can see the mirror reflecting right back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Such characteristics reveal that person's inflated self-importance. And this is what they do. This is what the unbelieving society right now is, this right up here. Scoffing at God means speaking disrespectfully of him. And that's all they do. as they talk about God. Listen, you ever go on those programs on television? All they do is talk about and they how they hate God. And if you are walking in faith, if you are born again Christian, they'll put some weirdo as a Christian to let people know this is what they are. And they'll put some kind of weirdo, some kind of guy that's lost his mind that says he's a Christian or she's a Christian. That's how they portray us. Not only are these people guilty of an overinflated sense of their own importance, they also verbally abuse God himself. Be careful what you listen to. Man, there's movies and programs, and it's bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes right out. Man, cut them off. He said, man, that person needs to repent. Can I get an amen? Saints, the extent of moral degeneration can be seen in the rejection of the most intimate human ties with many blatantly disobedient to their parents. Now we're going to step on some toes. This behavior willfully breaks the fifth commandment to honor one's father and mother. This goes back to the Ten Commandments. Can I get an amen? Listen, if you're not obeying your mom and dad, something is out of order. And you can get it right back in order. It's called repent. And say, man, mom and dad, I've been walking this self-willed way. I need to line up with God so I can honor you. Why? Because God says in his word right up here, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Amen. People don't understand that. Did you know a life can be cut short because they don't honor their mother and father? No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much they want to raise you up in fear and admonition of the Lord, you got to understand that they're doing it for their well-being, for God's sake, for your life. Can I get an amen? Know that it's good for you when your mom and your dad instruct you in the ways of God. And a lot of times, you just have to, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet on this one, and I'm just going to honor you. And guess what? You'll learn to honor God. The commandment was given because God understood the importance of strong families. To honor parents means speaking well of them and politely to them. It also means this right up here. Look at this. Acting in a way that shows them courtesy and respect. How many of you want to continue to show your mom and dad, if they're still living, courtesy and respect? Even your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your elders. Show them a way that you respect them and you appreciate them. Can I get an amen? It means following their teachings and example of putting God first. Parents have a special place in God's sight. Even children who find it difficult to get along with their parents are still commanded to honor them. And so when parents are not respected and honored, disobedience naturally results. And the breakdown of the family easily follows. Paul understood that when families fell apart, this is what takes place right up here. Very difficult times follows. And so, young people, those who are listening to this message, understand that God specifies a certain way of character within you. To honor your mom and dad. And when you learn to do that, man, I'm telling you, God will take you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you find yourself going around and around and around, that means you have to stop and say, God, am I honoring you? And am I honoring my parents who brought me into the world so that I could be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? So people are in a sad state when they find themselves ungrateful and cannot appreciate anything. And so we see this in Romans 1:21. Paul noted that ingratitude was second only to dishonoring God as a just cause for God's judgment on humanity. Let me tell you, our society is because of the rebellion. Our society, our nation is in total rebellion. The only one that has light, that can see truth is us, born-again believers. Why? Because we love truth. Amen. And we love the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen? But those that are walking in darkness cannot see that. They're blinded to their own self-deceived mind. And so we look in Romans. Look at this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, you can make this as simple as pie. What's unrighteousness to God? And I'm speaking to youth, young adult, those who are single, who are still maybe living at home. You know what unrighteousness is? Disobeying. When your mom and dad are giving you simple things to do, that's when you line yourself up and walking in righteousness, when you just simply obey. That's all there is to it. Okay, I'll do this and I'll do that. Because God looks that you would honor them. And when you honor them, you honor God. Can I get amen? Look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are out with excuse. So even the unbeliever who dies in their sin, God is still going to show them the truth. Because in creation speaks of the goodness of God. The air that we breathe, the parents who we came forth from, the food on our table. Oh, yes. Did you know that our climate in the world is perfect to God? Because we can breathe all day long and not die. Can I get an amen? We can walk outside and, man, in the cool breeze. Did you know that everything's perfect for us? God laid it all out for us. The food, the water, everything. And guess what? Because you were called, because God saved you, he's been caring for you since birth. Hallelujah. He used your parents to nurture you, to raise you up. Hallelujah. And you are here now by God's grace. He has kept you from the evil one. He has kept you in the will of God. Can I get an amen? You're here sitting in heavenly places because of him. He has done it all for us. And now we can glean off the Word of God. We can fellowship with one another in love and truth and understand how we can help one another and build each other up. But the world wants to tear you down. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Listen, throughout the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, never call anybody a fool. Come on, you remember how it was back in the day? What's up, fool? Come on, never call anyone a fool. You condemn yourself according to the Word of God. But if God calls someone a fool, man, you just got to keep your mouth shut and pray for that person. Can I get amen? You pray for that person. Thank you, God. Saints, this leads them to consider nothing sacred. People that are walking in unrighteousness, nothing sacred to them. People who set aside God in order to live only to please himself can only go one direction, toward wickedness. There's either light or darkness. There's either righteousness or unrighteousness. There's either a truth or a lie. And if the lie has been spun around for a whole long time, guess what? People will start believing the lie. This is why you need to be in the Word, because God will not lie to you. Can I get amen? He will not lie to us. He's not a God. He's not a man like that can lie. We can lie to one another all day long, but not him. He is the way, the truth, and what? The life. Thank you, God. And so these folks, they instinctively resist anyone or any ideas that would force them to measure themselves by God's standards. So now let's move on to verse 3 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. You find these folks in these last days, as we opened up in verse 1, we are living in what? perilous times. Amen. So in verse 3, he continues what the spirit of prophecy had given Paul to write to Timothy. And he saw this, and this also refers to us in the days that we live in, that there are going to be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You know, there's some people, I'm sorry, but you can't please them. No matter what you say, no matter how much you love them, they will always contend with you. Why? Because they're walking in darkness. They don't understand truth. And as I spoke about that spirit of Leviathan, it's upon many in the world that we live in. And it comes to wreck your life, to wreck relationships, to wreck the church, to wreck the home, to wreck marriages. It's a wicked spirit that God says the only thing that could tear that down is through the power of prayer. Flesh and blood can't touch it. It's a strong, strong, wicked entity that comes from the devil himself. And that spirit of Leviathan will get into the church, and you'll have members fighting each other. People that all of a sudden, I want to step upon you because I want to get a little higher than you. They will spin things that are not true and cause you to flee and run. Oh, yeah. And that's the spirit that's at work right now. And we've seen this throughout 8 years. I've seen this, but prior to that, I came from a church that was 3,000. And I pray for my pastor, Pastor Leo Giovanetti. He had to put 12 men around him. Why? Because people would want to come up. How dare you say that? And we had to back them off. Well, wait a minute. You can't just go up there and start rebuking them because you didn't like what you heard. It was like that. We had to protect him. Why? Because he's vulnerable to those things. My former pastor had a heart for people. He loved God and he loved the sheep. And yet there was people that would come and try to tear him down. Well, that hasn't changed. I haven't been in that church in over 15 years. And it still hasn't changed. I pray for my pastor. I pray for the pastors that maybe you came from. I pray for them. I pray for the relationships that God would restore them. Can I get amen? Because the devil wants to destroy our relationships. If he can restore relationships at home, if he can restore, if he can destroy relationships at home and he can destroy relationships in the church, then he's done what he's supposed to do, that wicked one, old slew foot. But we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? And the way we arm ourselves up is through the power and the word of God and the anointing of God. Can I get an amen? That's how we pull down strongholds. We bind and rebuke the darkness. We bind and rebuke the devil. Can I get an amen? Learn to do that, saints. Learn to rebuke the devil. Why? Because do you know that he wants to destroy your unsaved families? Members, how many of you have unsaved family members and not saved? How many of you have co-workers, people on the job that are not saved? How many have neighbors living right next to you that are not saved? Well, this is why God has given us a powerful tool here on earth, and that's the power of prayer. Can I get an amen? The power of prayer will destroy the yokes. Why? Because in the last days, God said this would happen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Look at this. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. We need to read that over and over again. Look at verse 21. Because they, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And we read that. They became what? Fools. But look what verse 31 says. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. The same thing that's written in Timothy. Why is this in the Word of God? You know, I'm sorry, but there are some ministers that they will just, I'm not going to talk about this because I don't want to offend nobody. Listen, I don't care if there's one person left in here. I'm still got to preach the truth. Can I get an amen? I got to stand before God. I don't care who's here or who's not. I got to stand before God until he says you're done, then I'll be done. But this is the time we live in, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are what? Worthy of death. Wow. That's what God says, that those folks who practice that are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Did you catch that? Oh, I don't do those things, but I love watching them. Ouch, that's an owie there, isn't it? Well, God is saying, hey, is there corrections in your life that you need? Then follow him. Never mind about me. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail tonight. Can I get an amen? You can open up the letter if you want. I'm just speaking the word of God because God's called me to speak this. Can I get an amen? So saints, indeed, because these people love only themselves and their money, possessions, as Paul noted in verse 2, they are unloving toward everyone and anything else. Unforgiving people cannot allow for others people's mistakes or weaknesses. In other words, I'm stronger than you. I'm greater than you. And they look upon you like they're greater. They are unyielding, unrelenting, and are often filled with extreme bitterness and anger over their own hurts. So people that are hurt, the only thing they know, they don't have a heart of forgiveness. They're hurt, so they're going to lash out with bitterness and anger and resentment. Yes. Because they're so hurt. And so what God is saying tonight, if you've been hurt anywhere, if you've been hurt in your life, give it to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Give it to Jesus. Say, God, I can't go anywhere without you freeing me from this. And even if those people that have hurt you are long and gone, you need to forgive yourself and let it go. Let go and let God, and he will set you free. He will give you a brand new start. Can I get an amen?
Yes, amen.
Listen, God wants to use you to the nth degree, but you got to allow him to come in. And sometimes you got to allow them to come in and clean house. Oh, God. Mm-mm. I've been on this too long. Lord, take it from me. It's causing me from having that deep relationship with you. And so they simply refuse to forgive, even if it's presented with the opportunity. But saints, eventually they become unable to forgive, even when they might acknowledge the need to do so. There's some folks, they just don't know how. And they want to, but they don't. Why? What's the element that's keeping them from it? The devil. And the devil and his attributes. What are the devil's attributes? Bitterness, angerness, unforgiveness, wrath, pride. And so when that's in the way, a person is defenseless. He can't break that down with his own strength. You need a supernatural God to intervene. Can I get an amen? And that's Jesus. Jesus can set you free. Hallelujah. And so without any self-control, they cannot restrain their actions, their feelings, or their words. Cruel people, brutes, are like untamed animals or uncivilized people. They are insensitive and crude and even savage. Look what's taking place in our society. You know why these kids are going in and killing kids? Because they're filled with the devil. God has been removed from their home. And so they're on these games of wickedness. They're on these games about war and killing. And so they start fantasizing about that. And then as soon as they get angered, man, here's the devil to fuel it. And that's why we're seeing this wickedness in our society. Because these homes where these kids are coming from, they've removed the Word of God. The Bible is no longer important to that household. And all they are left is with a deceitful heart. How many believe we need to pray? Can I get amen? We got about 15 more minutes. Let's look at verse 4. So in the last days we're living in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So let's look at this. We're going to go quickly with this. Look at this. Number one, traitors. This word is used in the New Testament only here in Luke 6:16 and Acts 7:52. It means anyone who betrays, whether it to be a friend or his country, it's considered treason. And treason has been in all ages regarded as one of the worst crimes that man can commit. When you divorce your spouse, did you know that's treason? When you divorce your church, you know that's treason? Why? Because God builds relationships. He's not in the business to tear them down. Can I get amen? He wants to build you up, edify you. Why? Because he wants to use you in these last days so that you can win others. Look at Luke 6:16. This is where the word traitor is mentioned. Look at that. Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a what? Traitor. So God said in the last days, there's going to be all kinds of traitors. There's going to be all kinds of Judas Iscariots. There's people that have walked out of this ministry. It's like, what? Without a formal goodbye. Without being blessed out. And there's some wonderful people that have been part of this ministry. And we blessed them out. Can I get an amen? That's how you leave. You get blessed out. But there's traitors. Look at this in Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Wow. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Listen, this is why Bible study is so important. Yeah, Sunday mornings are great. We'll give a topical message, but we get in the meat on Wednesday night. Can I get amen? It's book, chapter, and verse, so we don't scheme over anything. And when we have to talk about sin, when that verse comes up, we got to address it. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He's so good. Look at Acts 19. Look at this. Or look at heady. The same word in Acts 19 is rendered rashly. It occurs only there. In the place of the New Testament, the heady, strong-minded, strong will. There's some people that are just heady. We see this in Timothy, right? And so, basically, it's falling forwards. It's prone. It's inclined, ready to do anything. Look at in Acts 19 right here. It's mentioned. Therefore, since the things that cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. So God is saying, you know, sometimes when things don't go right, you got to just be quiet and get before the Lord. So God, help me. I'm not going to open my mouth and cause to put my foot in my mouth. How many have we put our foot in our own mouth when God is saying, hey, just calm down. I'll work it out for you. But sometimes we just, woo, and we don't know what we're doing. And so let's look at high-minded. High-minded, literally puffed up. Compare the notes in 1 Timothy 3:6. We were there about a month ago. And the same word is rendered lifted up with pride. The meaning is that they would be inflated with pride or self-conceit. And then we find this, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is of sensual pleasures or vain amusements. This has been and is the characteristic of a great part of the world and has often distinguish even many who profess religion. So we need to be careful. How many need we need to guard our heart? Can I get amen? We need to guard our heart, saints. Yes, we need to guard our heart. Why? Because look what it says in Philippians here. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you for us as a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. So be careful who's your friend. Can I get amen? Because there's some. I'm not saying all. I'm not saying even if you have any. But there are some that you may be encountered with that are totally enemies to the cross. And inside they hate who you are all about. They really do. Look at this. And I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is what? Destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Wow. Look at this. In verse 19 here. Oh, we just read 19, I believe. Yes. Whose end is destruction. But how many are so blessed that God saved you? Huh? Did you know his mercy and grace? He basically intervened in our life when we were headed to hell in a handbasket. He came and pulled us out of the fire. I'm so blessed to be saved today. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, we were all on a path of destruction. But God said, not you, not you, not you. I got a plan for you. And I'm going to do great and mighty things through you. And you're going to glorify me, the Lord Jesus, when you do these things. Because we can't pat ourselves. Can I get amen? We got to just turn it to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that so-and-so is saved. Thank you, God, that that so-and-so person is delivered. Thank you, God, that you healed them. Hallelujah. And when you give God all the glory, he will keep using you and using you and using you. Can I get amen? That's how I want to go out. If there is any way to go out, I want to go out. God, I want to be praying for someone. I want to be preaching the word. I want to be baptizing somebody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And watch them be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Man, that's my desire. I'm hoping that's your desire. Because when it boils down to the things that we know and we adhere to, and what God has called us is about a soul being saved that's headed to hell. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's why he saved us. Because the book of Titus says we're there to pull them out of the fire. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And many of you have done such acts before God, is sharing and loving and winning others to Christ. Can I get amen? That's what it's all about. Listen, when you save one, you're going to want to... haven't you seen that movie? I believe it was about this one wealthy Jewish person who wanted to keep saving the people from the Holocaust. What was the name of that movie? Schindler's List. And he was selling all of his goods. He was selling everything he had. Why? Because he wanted to save one more person. Because they were headed to the ovens. The Jews were headed to the ovens. 6 million were basically baked alive. But yet, he had a heart for life. Saints, we have to have that same heart like Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus went to the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we have to forgive those who even persecute you, who even cause you to have anger and bitterness. We got to forgive them. And then we got to press toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen? Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God, a loving God. And he wants the best for us. Can I get amen? That's why he saved us. He saved us so that he would be glorified and magnified. And that he would be high and lifted up. Can I get amen? And so we close in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And for such people, turn away. As I shared earlier, saints, there are some folks until God gets a hold of their heart, you can't change them. Can I get an amen? Amen. You preach love and truth. And sometimes, after a while, after you've sown that seed of righteousness and they're still walking in wickedness, sometimes you just have to sever that and say, you know what? Only God can deliver you. I've said what I had to say. I've done what I did. I've sown the seed of righteousness because Paul said, some plant and some water, but only God can give the increase. Can I get an amen? Amen. We cannot be God and say, well, you know what? And just say a prayer. No, God has to do what? He's got to turn their heart of unregeneration to a regenerated heart. And I'm going to end with these scriptures right here because there was a familiar place and time where a religious Pharisee, he snuck out at night. And I like to say it was Nick at night. Nicodemus, he snuck out. Why? He snuck out because he was ashamed that his peers, his religious cohorts would have ridiculed him and mocked him. So he snuck out. He snuck out. And he came to see the King of Kings. And look at this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I'm here to let us know that after you've sown, after you've planted the seed of righteousness, only God now can save that individual. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because unless they're born again, they're not going to see what you see. It's going to be a wall. They're going to be continually walk in darkness. And so, as the conversation goes further, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's a problem with our society. Guess what? They don't see God. They cannot see God. Why? Because they're unregenerated. They haven't been born from above. And you could preach till you're blue in the face. And until God moves on their heart, they're not going anywhere. But we are to sow the seed of righteousness. Can I get an amen? We are to plant God's word, and we are to then go by maybe another season and water it. And say, God, would you give the increase? Because we can't. You know what? There's an old saying. You could take a horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. Can I get an amen? How many folks have you preached the gospel to? They still chugging it up. They still, whoo, yeah, here's for you too. Huh? How many do we know? All kinds, huh? Well, guess what? God went in that same group and pulled us out. Can I get an amen? He pulled us out. And so we're here to testify what God has done for us. Can I get an amen? And we testify to them. Look what God has done for me. He can do for you. Can I get an amen? Come on, you got to believe God for that. You got to believe God can save them. Hallelujah. Why? Because we were stiff-necked. We was toe, like Brother G said, we were toe up from the flow up. I love his analogies. You know why? Because it's back in the day. When we was out there rolling in the mud. Look at this. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So now, here's Nicodemus. He knew the scriptures, but he wasn't born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God. So he was looking at everything through the natural lens. He was looking at earthly things. He didn't understand that Jesus came from heaven to earth. And God brought revelation to mankind that there needed to be a second birth to take place. And only the Holy Ghost can birth, hallelujah, salvation in your heart by the blood of Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So just picture that for a moment. An adult trying to climb up again into his mother's womb and then come out again. That's what he thought. How ridiculous is that? But that's all he had. That's all the wisdom he had. And guess what? It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. There's still some folks that believe, yeah, right, born again. Uh-huh. Look at this. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit. Come on. For those of you that have been baptized in our jacuzzi, what are the two plaques I got? Unless a man is born of the water and the Spirit, what? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then we have Acts 2:38 and 39. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, it all ties in together. He says right here, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, you need the Holy Ghost to come in. And let me just say this. Once he sets up camp in you, the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. By the grace of God, I've been walking. By the grace of God, I got saved when I was 30. I'm going to be 60 in December. And he has kept me. And let me just say this. I'm just going to be transparent here. There were days that I didn't want to be kept. He still kept me. You know why? Because what he started in you, he's going to complete it. Hallelujah. I don't care what has happened in your life. I don't care if relationships have gone awry. I don't care if you lost your job. I don't care if your parents disown you. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what God started in you, he's going to complete it. And we are all adopted sons and daughters. We've been grafted in by faith. We've been born again. Hallelujah. We've been chosen and elected by God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, God. This is what we need to preach to a dying world, that God could do a marvelous thing in your life. Can I get an amen? Look at this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must. Notice that's not an option. It says you what? Well, maybe if you're good. If you keep the Ten Commandments. No. We walk by faith and not by sight. Can I get an amen? And so, God has given mankind, if there's a formula, which there's not, this is it. Take two of these and move on with your life. Can I get an amen? Huh? Come on. And since I've been saved, man, God has blessed my life. As long as we've been married for 20 years, he has blessed our life. And guess what? Since he's given us this church, and all I've seen your life being blessed. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We're blessed from above. Thank you, God. And we can boast in him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this Bible study. We thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we can glean, Lord, in our past, and we can see the day that you saved us. And we were so unrighteous. We were so unworthy of this great salvation. But you still chose to save us. And just like evangelist Felipe Reyes, he has said it so many times when he was here. He went dumpster diving for us. Some of us were under a tortilla. A rotten melon that was thrown out. He had to scoot all that junk, and there we were. And he saved us, despite of ourselves. And I'm praying right now that if there's someone here or listening, that you would do the miraculous in their heart. The Bible's clear. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the way we receive salvation is through confession of our faith. And all we have to do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Believe that he died for us. Believe that he was raised from the dead. Believe, hallelujah, that he has a glorious plan in store for us. Some of you who have confessed this, and maybe some of you hadn't even been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm praying for those that group, and I'm praying for those who never received Jesus at all. And if you're listening to my voice right now, we want to pray with you corporately as a church, because we're here because we love the Lord Jesus. And we're hoping that you would come into that covenant relationship with him by faith. So if you're listening to this message, pray this simple prayer, but remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. God has given us this precious tool of prayer here on earth so that we, mankind here on earth, can communicate with the holy God in heaven. So if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Come on. Is he worthy? Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the